Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Eagles Live podcast, episode 22. I'm Eagles insider Dave Spadaro. It's been quite a month, hasn't it? The players have been away, the coaches are on vacation, and the NFL news has slowed to barely a trickle. Too quiet for everyone. Well, that's about to change, and just in time to feed our hunger for the Philadelphia Eagles. Rookies, selected veterans, and quarterbacks report to the NovaCare Complex for their first practice on July 25th, and the first full team practice is on July 28th. Remember, the first open-to-the-public practice happens on Sunday, July 31st at Lincoln Financial Field at 10 a.m. There is a second open practice at Lincoln Financial Field on Sunday, August 14th at 7 p.m. PhiladelphiaEagles.com has all the information for these events, which you won't want to miss. In this Eagles Live podcast, we're going to hear from NFL Network analyst Mike Mayock, who is part of the Eagles television preseason broadcast team, and we'll talk to former Eagles cornerback Eric Allen, one of the many former players who paid his tributes to former Eagles head coach Buddy Ryan, who passed away in late June at the age of 85. Also, long snapper John Dornbos has had an eventful offseason and will catch up with some of the tricks of his off-the-field trade that he shared with all of America. First, though, let's talk some hardcore Eagles football. One of the main priorities for this team in the offseason was improving a secondary that allowed a franchise most 36 touchdown passes in the 2015 season. The Eagles think they did just that, and in particular, they believe they signed the perfect partner for Pro Bowl safety Malcolm Jenkins, with the addition of Rodney McLeod. Once an Eagles player and now the coach in charge of the safeties, Tim Houck gives us the overview of his room in our one-on-one conversation. Tim Houck, you've been working with the safeties here the last couple of months. You are ready to dig in for your offseason and then training camp comes. How do you feel about the group?
You know what? Walking in the door originally, I wasn't sure what we had. And after all the OTAs and mini camps, feel really good about our group. First of all, the room is really, really smart. They get it. They understand football. We got a veteran presence. We got some good young guys that are working extremely hard and been not surprised, but really happy with what we have.
We have heard a lot about how Rodney McLeod and Malcolm Jenkins have paired very well together. I don't know if fans understand how you can tell when there's no pads on and there's no tackling. From your perspective, what is working and what is working well with those two?
Well, it's one of those things that they're both very professional in what they do. They approach it as, hey, this is my job. I'm going to do it right. And they're very dedicated to their work. Every day, their questions are good if they have them. They communicate with each other, which is hugely important in the back end, so everybody's lined up correctly. And then we aren't in pads, but just their athletic ability alone and the things they can do without pads on is pretty impressive.
What is Rodney's game? We all hear smaller guy, a lot of tenacious, sounds a lot like Tim Houck.
Well, the thing is, you see Rodney, you don't say small, because he doesn't come off as a small guy. He is very tenacious. He plays extremely hard. He understands football, and we haven't seen it yet here, but we saw it on tape. He is a very physical player. In my mind, that's the whole package right there. Obviously, Malcolm's got the same qualities. He's been to a Pro Bowl, and he's just continued and heading in that direction from what I've seen. He's another guy who's got a corner background, can cover, has great size, is extremely smart, understands the game, and those two together is going to be a good pair.
That's the part that a lot of people don't see and don't understand, that in the NFL these days, it's about coverage almost as much as it is, if not more maybe, than it is about being physical.
Well, matchups are huge. Rules alone have taken away a little bit of the physical side of the game, where you can't just play zone defense and intimidate guys, so you got to play some man-to-man, where now you have these hybrid tight ends that are actually wide receivers, and you got to be able to match up. And both those guys can match up, especially Malcolm with his corner background and a little bit better size than Rodney. But, you know, Rodney can match too. He can run, he can cover, he can do it all also.
Tim, how do you feel about behind those two starters, what you think you have working with?
We got some nice young players behind them. And let's just start with Ed Reynolds, extremely smart guy who understands football. He understands defense. I talked about the knowledge in the room, a very smart room. He gets it. And that's his biggest asset. And then let's go to Jalen Watkins, a very athletic guy who has played corner. He has played safety. This move to safety, it took him a little bit of time. Now he's starting to pick it up. And you see his athletic ability makes a big difference in the back end. And then Chris Maragos, obviously we've seen him on special teams, but he excels some on defense too. He's got the athletic ability, the speed, and the tenacious attitude to be a good safety. And then obviously we drafted the young kid, Blake Countess, in the sixth round. And again, the biggest surprise for me with him is how fast he has picked this up. Now, he's still detailing the defense a little bit, but he just gets better and better every day and does a lot of good things.
Tim, how much will it change when the pads go on?
A lot. That's just football in general. So what we've seen is knowledge, understanding of the defense, being able to run around and see the athletic ability. Now we'll see what happens when things get live and when you got to get people on the ground and when you got to put your hands on people or how you attack blocks and get off blocks. The aggressive attitude and nature now really comes into effect.
Your first year coaching here, the message that you've been giving, you've pleased with the way they're receiving it?
Absolutely. They've been a great group. First of all, they are good players in general to start with, which makes it easy for me to coach. But if you've got a tip or something you want to change, they're readily accepted and don't really balk at the idea of change and trying something new.
Thanks, Tim. Have a great vacation.
Hey, I appreciate it. Good to be here.
I'm Eagles linebacker Jordan Hicks.
It's intercepted. It's Hicks down the far sideline. Touchdown, Jordan Hicks out of the University of Texas.
And you're listening to the Eagles Live podcast with Dave Spadaro.
Now it's time for some press coverage, and this week we pulled Mike Mayock aside to talk about the team's rookie class. Mayock, of course, knows the draft inside and out, and he thinks the fans have a lot to look forward to with this class of rookies in 2016 and beyond. Mike, we are not too far away from training camp, and you know the Eagles haven't been in pads yet, so you have a better knowledge probably of anybody than about these rookies as they come into the NFL. Let's talk about the rookie class and begin at the top with Carson. You've been at practice. You've seen him in this system. Your thoughts?
As you know, anybody that followed what I said leading up to the draft knows how bullish I am on Carson Wentz, and I think he's got the best of all worlds because he can learn behind Sam Bradford and Chase Daniel. There's not an immediate pressure to produce, which I think, coming from where he's coming from, he only threw the ball 612 times in college. That's 1,000 less times than Goff and Cal. So I think he needs every rep he can get out here. And I think the city of Philadelphia is going to love this kid because he's tough, he's athletic, and he cares.
How will Flip and Frank Reich and Doug get him better if he's not going to play?
Again, all the reps he's getting in practice, the reps he had, for instance, during minicamp, you know, he got about one third of the reps. He got as many as Sam and Chase. So I think the fact that he's in a great quarterback room, the other two quarterbacks, Frank Reich, Flip, guys that have been around and played the position their whole lives, all that's going to do is accelerate the learning curve for a kid that's already highly intelligent.
So it's okay in your mind that he's not going to play? I mean, some people believe that you throw the kid out there and let him learn baptism by fire. It's okay to do it both ways, I guess.
Yeah, I think every situation is different. And right now in Philadelphia, I think he's got the best of both worlds because when he's ready to play, they can play him. And if that's week one, that's fine. If it's week 8, week 12, week 16, and if it's not until next year, that's fine also, because the bottom line is Sam Bradford's interests and the Eagles' interests are aligned in the same direction. The better Bradford plays, the better it is for everybody.
In the third round, Isaac Seumalo from Oregon State didn't play in the spring because of the Oregon State graduation. How much of a setback is that for him?
It's a bit of a setback mentally, but today's world of iPads and all the rest, I know they're sending him as much information as they can. I'll tell you, the two offensive line draft picks I was bullish on. Seumalo played all five positions at Oregon State. He'll settle in probably at guard. I think he's got the ability to be a starter, if not year one, then year two. And Big V, Vitae. I mean, the closer we got to the draft, the more offensive line coaches were buzzing about this kid. And I think down the road in 2 or 3 years, could he start at right tackle? Absolutely.
Is it a lot with those guys, Mike, the system that they're drafted into and the coaching that they get?
A lot of it's the fit, and offensive linemen fit different systems. Some of them are gap guys, which are big physical maulers. Some of them are a little bit smaller but more athletic, better feet. They fit in that zone scheme better. So I think offensive line coaches and general managers do a really nice job trying to match the type of player up with the scheme they anticipate playing.
The Eagles have spoken very highly of Wendell Smallwood. You've seen him out here in practice as well, followed him in college. Your thoughts on the West Coast offense, the next generation here?
I think he's very special with the ball in his hands, and especially in the pass game. You could see on tape how he understands how to set up a linebacker. He's got natural hands, and once he gets the ball in space, he's very difficult to tackle. So from my perspective, the thing he's just going to have to really work hard on is pass protection.
In the spring, the Eagles used Blake Countess at safety and Jalen Mills at the cornerback positions. Is that where you kind of saw them?
I think the nice thing about both of them is that they've played both positions, and Countess has been inside and out. Jalen Mills has played inside and out. So I think it's more a factor of how the Eagles feel about what their best fit is and what do the Eagles need right now. And the nice thing is they got a lot of reps in the OTAs and minicamp, and both of them are going to have to excel at special teams.
Jalen really looks like the moment wasn't too big for him once he stepped out on the field here.
A lot of SEC kids come out because they're used to 100,000 people. They're used to big crowds at practice. They're used to high competition in practice. So Jalen Mills was a guy that most people had a second or third round grade on. Slipped all the way to the seventh, supposedly because of character concerns. So to see him come out after the amount of ball he played at LSU, I wouldn't expect he would think it was too big for him.
McAllister, awfully thin, really good burst off the edge. Played at Florida. How does he fit in here in the wide nine?
Well, he's a long, rangy guy. He's a perfect DPR, designated pass rusher. And I think you'll see Coach Schwartz and the other coaches really working hard, get a little bit more weight on him, but more importantly, develop a variety of pass rushing moves. Because really, in a pass-first league, a guy that can come in on second and third down your sub packages and immediately get pressure on a quarterback is highly valuable.
I personally am very, not concerned, but question mark about depth at linebacker. Joe Walker, at this point, the number two middle linebacker. Your feelings on his ability to step in if needed early in his career?
I'll be quite honest. I didn't watch his tape in college, and I can't watch everybody. I've talked to some of the coaches throughout camp here, and they're all really high on him as far as his football intelligence, his football IQ. I watched him some during the mini camp and came away saying, okay, for a guy that was a seventh round pick, you talk about it not being too big. He was the one taking the calls in from the sidelines from Jim Schwartz. He was very calm. He got every call correct, and it looks to me like he's going to be one of those guys that's in the right place at the right time, quality backup depth, and he's also going to have to be a core special teams player.
Mike, you'll be in the booth for the Eagles television broadcasts in the preseason. What are kind of your main themes as we stand here before training camp?
Well, we're hoping that Scotty Graham and I can do 100% of the conversation because we have a very weak sideline guy. So Scotty and I are really hoping to dominate.
Don't believe anything he says. Mike, thanks.
Thanks, David.
Buddy Ryan coached the Eagles from 1986 until 1990, helping revive a franchise that desperately needed to get back on the NFL map. Ryan was brash, and he was bold, and he was, frankly, divisive in a lot of ways. But his players understood him, they loved him, and they knew he was helping them become better football players on the field and better men off the field. Ryan passed away in late June at the age of 85 after a long illness, and his former players showed their love with heartfelt reactions. Eric Allen was a second-round draft pick by Ryan in 1988, and he quickly became one of the best cornerbacks in the league and eventually a member of the Philadelphia Eagles Hall of Fame. Allen paid his respects to Ryan at the services in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky, and understands what an impact Ryan made on a very young man fresh out of college.
I think you have to, myself personally, you know, people talk about a lot of the success I've had on the football field, and people really don't realize that at some point, we're all kind of afraid and not sure of ourselves. And I, for one, know that he gave me the confidence to become the player I was. And then, you know, post-football, that all was kind of that growth spurt right there in Philadelphia. And he had a huge part to play in that because of the confidence, you know, he gave me. You know, I was 21 years old. You know, most guys are 22, 23. I was 21 years old. He told me in April after the draft that I was going to be the starting cornerback for the Philippines. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is just beyond anything that I could comprehend at that time.
Right.
He said it would be a lot of hard work. You know, I'd have to go through some things that a normal guy wouldn't have to go through. But he knew that I could be a player if I wanted to be. You know, so I just needed to come back and just show the family and just be here.
So what have the players been doing with their time off? In addition to visiting friends and family and getting in their workouts, players take on some ambitious ventures. Nobody on the team went the route that long snapper John Dorenbos took, however. He appeared on America's Got Talent on NBC and wowed the national television audience as well as the judges. In our off-the-field segment, Dorenbos talks about a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Well, John Dorenbos certainly had a summer to remember. John, you appear on national television out of the blue, and you wow the crowd with your card tricks. Can you talk about how it all came together, you and AGT, and what did it mean to you?
Yeah, dude, it was a great time, and it was kind of something that did kind of just happen, I guess. I had a chance to audition, and I took it, and, you know, we did it in the off-season, which was perfect, so this was back in, like, March. It was fun. I mean, I've been performing a long time. I've done the theaters. I was able to perform in an arena with 10,000 people, but I've never performed in that environment where you're trying to perform for four judges and really just get them on your side. So, for me, that was kind of a really cool challenge.
How about the nerves, John? You long snap in front of 70,000 people every every week, intense pressure. You can't make a mistake. Like you said, you've been in big venues. What was the level of pressure like for you?
I didn't really look at it any different. You know, I remember some people backstage were coming up to me and they're like, dude, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm like, yeah, yeah, why? Well, we just see you. Did you just fall asleep? You're on in like 2 minutes. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, it's all good. You know, I'm kind of one of those guys that just keeps the heart rate down. And, you know, myself and David Akers for years would take a nap right before the game and just kind of chill out and settle the nerves. So for me, it was no different. And I've been shuffling cards since I was 12 years old. It's something that I've been doing for a long time. And so you just kind of like almost get out of the way of your own body and let it do what it does. And you know, that's kind of the similarity between magic and snapping.
John, why did you try out for them? Why did you go through the process of being interested in them? Or did they come to you first?
It was a great opportunity, and it was great exposure. You know, I didn't really know where my career was going to go or what was going to happen, and it was an opportunity that kind of fell in my lap, and I took it.
That's awesome. Now, the judges seem to really like it. I mean, is that the sense that you got also?
Yeah, yeah, it was cool. I mean, you know, fortunately, I kind of found this out after. They're all Magic fans. Like, Simon loves Magic, which is boom. Because you have people that love it, and you have people that hate it. Let me tell you that. So anytime you have people that love it, it obviously makes it for a much more enjoyable experience. And Heidi Klum was a sweetheart. Mel B is awesome. And I'm a Howie Mandel fan. So, and I have been a Howie and Simon fan for a long time. I love those guys. So that was cool. And their response was what I was hoping for. And that's, hey, that was cool. That was fun. Can't wait to see what you have next.
John, how did it change your life? I'm sure that, you know, performing on a national stage opened a lot of eyes to people who weren't aware that you had those talents.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I got about 7 more Twitter followers. That was a big deal. You get recognized here and there, but you do it for the love of the art, and it's cool to be able to be put on a platform that's similar to the NFL. And look, the NFL is a platform to where you can show your talents in the game and the sport so fans can love it. Well, you know, AGT was a platform for me to be able to perform and still perform and kind of show people what I love to do as well.
So what's next, John? Is there more magic in the future here?
Yeah, yeah. So obviously I made it through that first round, and then I got one airing here in, I believe, 2 weeks or a week. So you're just going to have to wait and find out.
All right. Well, John Dornbos, how did you spend your summer? You went on national television. I don't think many NFL players can say that.
Yeah, it worked out. It worked out.
That's it for our Eagles Live podcast, episode 22. I'm Eagles Insider Dave Spadaro, and I thank you for joining us this week, and many thanks to Brian Thomas for putting it all together and making it flow. We're going to be here every week in what's going to be an exciting 2016 season ahead, so please find us on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, the official team app, or on iTunes, and subscribe to the Eagles Live podcast and enjoy the ride together. Thanks again, everyone, and have yourselves a great Eagles Day. EA!